Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We are broadcasting on a Tuesday, so don't know if we announced that last week. Sorry if we did not. But for those of you that are listening, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we hope that we get some calls today. We also invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Twitter, and those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. You know, it's strange. This is what I'm trying to see. Yeah, we're here on the homepage at the top, live episodes.
We're at the top? What does that mean? They put us at the top?
Well, we're at the top because we've been for years. We're a featured show on Blog Talk Radio, so that gives us top billing, essentially. So
how do you get to be a featured show?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. We applied to be a featured show, and we got it. Everything was different at Blog Talk Radio back then. I mean, it's changed dramatically.
Oh, how's that?
When we started, it was 2012, and they had live representatives to talk to. When one called in, there would be someone to take your call if you had technical problems. And so there was a much more interactive, direct interaction with the staff there. And what happened is there was a change in the CEO or something, or the director, at some point. And our show used to be featured. Like, I'd apply and we'd get featured. There's two kinds of being featured. There's like a permanent feature, which is what we have now. But then they would specifically feature shows on the homepage and give it a lot more, I think, on the main page.
Exposure.
So they would give it much more exposure. Right now I'm looking on not the homepage, but the live episodes page, and we're right at the top right now. And, of course, on spirituality, we're the top show today. Spirituality, we were. Oh no, I just clicked on business. But anyway, so on the homepage you'd be featured. And so we did some shows where we'd have like 35 callers in the queue. Also, what they've done is limited now the number of callers you can have with a certain plan in the queue at one time. So it's...
Oh, you can only have a certain amount of people calling in?
Yep. Yeah. You can only have a certain amount of people calling in, and it's much less. And now everything is via email. You can't, sometimes there's a representative available pretty much like, you know, instantaneously, meaning it's an interactive conversation where you can, you know, someone's sitting there and you can actually chat with them if you're having a technical difficulty. But anyway, it's much different. They still feature shows, but it's a much more difficult process. Because there's not that individual, you know, one-on-one communication with the staff there. So also they make you manually do, there was a feature that auto-scheduled shows. So if you did shows like we do on Wednesdays and Fridays, it would automatically schedule the shows for you. Now I have to do each show every time. And the reason that they changed is they said, well, you know, if you have certain tags or your description is changed every time, you're going to generate more listeners. But that was also based on the theory that most of your callers are coming in from, most of your listens rather are coming from archived listens. Now, we get more archived listens probably than we do get live listens at this point. But I one time I think I talked to the, I think we talked to the guy who was ahead of Blog Talk Radio for some reason. We got him to call us because of some issue we were having. And remember, he explained to us, he was saying, no, your listens are going to be, there's going to be less live people listening. And then when he looked into our history, he said, oh, well, you do have a lot of live listens. I said, yeah, we're really dependent on our show being available to, you know, in the live section and visible. I think we weren't appearing in the live section for a while for some reason. There was some kind of technical problem going on. Anyway, so that's the story.
Well, so we'll move on and get to the topic at hand. We had recently seen a movie called,
spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen this movie, just don't listen to the show. But we're going to talk about the movie, and we're not going to like hide details about the movie because...
Well, it's based on a true story too. So it's history. So it's like saying, we're going to talk about the Abraham Lincoln story, and spoiler alert, he got assassinated.
Well, not really, because the movie, as you were saying, is called A Hidden Life, and his life was really hidden. In fact, it took him many years to get, I mean, obviously now there's a movie about this person's life, but he was a martyr that was not recognized for many years.
But it's
so
history.
It is history.
It's in the history archive. So
I didn't know anything about the movie going into it. I mean, very little. I like to go into movies knowing very little.
It's not really
a
spoiler alert. I mean, the reviews even depict the ending and talk about the ending.
Oh,
but anyway,
I didn't read the reviews.
That,
okay.
It was based on a true story. A few minor alterations. Well, maybe some alterations.
Well, I mean, how can they, you know,
Terrence Malick was the director. Now, he did a movie called The Tree of Life. He did a movie called Days of Heaven. He is a major. He did the Vietnam film. It was a rival to Apocalypse Now, The Thin Red Line or something. But he is a great director. He works in a form of kind of mosaic scenes. A lot of his scenes are sort of choppy. It got that way really with a little bit with Days of Heaven, but Tree of Life, major, and then this movie, but beautifully choreographed and constructed. That were just magnificent.
Because it's filmed in the Austrian Highlands. That's where the story took place in part. And the cinematography was beautiful. I mean,
I actually backpacked to Austria back in the 70s, and the scenes that I remember being there were as beautiful as the scenes depicted on the film. So it was a beautiful sort of the mountains and the farms and the green hills and things like that. Very, very beautiful and beautifully composed film. But
yeah, in fact, well, I'm just going to add the score was beautiful too.
Yeah.
Original score, but with also classical.
But you got to kind of get into it because the scenes are very choppy and not complete scenes.
And it's long. I think it could have been shorter. I mean, 278 minutes, I think. But it could have been a little bit shorter.
You know, there was a lot of repeating scenes, but they were so beautiful in their repeated format. That it just,
I mean, repeated scenery. I mean, the scenes weren't repeated necessarily, but the scenery was repeated.
The close-ups of his face were
done over and over again,
and the scenes of the
scenes of them picking, because they were farmers, and so there's a lot of them harvesting wheat and tilling the land and picking potatoes and
very
gathering
pastoral.
vegetables. And I want to get, go ahead.
Get what?
Well, I'm going to talk a bit about more about the scene. I mean, those scenes and what they did, didn't do, but they did. They didn't do for like almost 2 hours of the movie, and then something that happened later, but why they did it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they filmed it over a little under 2 months, so it's remarkable.
Two months?
Yeah, it was only, they were only up there for about a month and a half or so. But it's just remarkable that the time and effort it took to make a scene that was like 10 seconds on the screen, which is amazing. But that's not the issue. This isn't a sneak preview.
We're doing movie reviews now.
Yeah, Siskel and Ebert.
Maybe we need to change our
Baker and Baker film reviews.
Yeah,
but we are
change
talking
our
about this because
category of broadcasting. We'd have to change the entertainment section. Maybe we get some calls.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
We have to define this as the spiritual nature of the film.
Which was core part of the, I mean, it was a core part of the film and the narrative.
The film.
Exactly.
I mean, the beauty of his family and all that and their beautiful relationship. But it was really based, like we said, on a true story. This man was originally a gang member back in the 40s, realized.
No, not the 40s. It was in the 30s.
It was the 30s,
or maybe even the 20s, because he stopped. He was in a motorcycle gang. He actually impregnated. They didn't tell you this in the movie. I did some research afterward, but he actually impregnated a farm maid or something out of wedlock, but met his wife. I can't remember what year it was, in like early 30s.
So he met his wife. So they
and
got
she was
going.
Very devout Catholic, and he transformed. He became a sacristan, who's the person who rings the bell at the church first, you know, baptisms and whatever,
the
weddings, blah blah blah.
And then what happened was the Nazis started to. There was the rise of Nazism, and Hitler was coming on the scene. He was drafted for a while and got through that.
And he went through two installments, by the way, which the movie didn't show. They showed one. But he actually went twice into training. He went into training twice.
He got through that. That wasn't too controversial at that moment. But then he got drafted. But prior to that, with the rise of Nazism, the whole village was giving their allegiance to Hitler.
And the family was not, and there was a lot of stress in the family. They had three children, so the children weren't aware. But between he and his wife, because he was afraid of being enlisted, and they were beginning to be ostracized by the villagers. So that was depicted.
Yeah, and it was quite compelling because they were very popular in the village. It wasn't a big village, but they were very popular, and because of the force allegiance and conformity, he was ostracized, and so was the family, the wife, and the children. And there were fights and bad looks and things like this. So it got pretty
intense.
They were
being spat at,
and so as the movie progresses, he's taking a stand against pledging to Hitler and Nazism. He even goes to the priest and says, listen, this isn't right. A lot of innocent people are being killed, and this is invading nations. And the priest's comment was, well, you owe a pledge to the motherland. And that's what you have to do first. And he just looked at the priest
It was shocking. And after that meeting, he went back to his wife and said, I think he thought I might be a spy.
Yeah, so he said, I think they think I might be a spy.
And
so
they're worried because
Catholics,
the priests were being, you know, exterminated, rounded up by Nazis
as well. So he thought maybe he was a lie. But then he gets drafted, and he has a choice interacting with his wife. He could either just pledge allegiance to Hitler and get it over with and keep his ideas, but just do it to cooperate and not cause problems, or you could flee into the forest. But this man was so honorable that, one, he couldn't pledge allegiance to Hitler, and that was throughout the movie, no matter what he went through. Tremendous torture, imprisonment.
And right, finally, because he did enlist, so you kind of skipped over. He enlisted. He said, I have to go. The wife suggested running into the mountains and hiding. I don't know why he decided not to do that, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to go and, you know, enlist. So when he enlisted initially, and I don't know if it's historically accurate or not, the men enlisting were taking a pledge, and he was the only one not to. And that's when he was called out of line and brought into
interrogation.
It was a jail at that time, I think. There was an interrogation. And then a jail, and then transferred to, I think his imprisonment was only like a few months, but he was transferred to a prison in Berlin. So he was in a jail first, the jail was like, you know, not, it wasn't a prison. It was more like a jail.
It was a jail,
but then he was transferred to a prison. There was brutality, but it was worse when he went into Berlin. Berlin prison was worse.
And then he kept defying the pledge. And
he was given opportunity. So he was given opportunity, a lawyer. In the meantime, his wife had gone to two different, I think she went to Salzburg and to some other place on the train to try to talk to the Nazis, to try to get him released somehow. And he was visited by an attorney in jail. And he was like, why are you here? And he said, I'm trying to help you be free. And he said, I am free. So he was speaking of his,
yeah, and even
the freedom of his soul rather than his spirit.
Between him and his wife, where she finally says, you know, I love you. And
well, that's, you yeah, he's skipping you, ahead.
But yeah, we can't go through the whole movie.
Yeah.
But we're getting to the point. I love you, but you have to do what you need to do. And you have to realize this was a very loving relationship, very depicted with great sensitivity and compassion and passion. But and the mother is involved, and everybody seems to be backing him up. But in his family.
Well, there was a division between the mother and the wife, but anyway, people were blaming the wife for his decision. She was
didn't want to lose her son. But the at the end, of course, he is guillotined, and from the guillotine, and
guillotined from the guillotine.
He was shot by a rifle, and that's. Well, here's the situation. This and the birth dates were quite amazing because of the ordeal that this man went through. And some of us come down to the planet. We're very fortunate because most of us kind of lead placid lives. We have challenges and decisions to make, but rarely do we have to do that Sophie's Choice thing where we have to decide. Do we stand up for something and lose everything that we love for the sake of a belief or a faith? There was even this small chapter in life about the little brother who defended his sister against a pit bull and went in to save his sister, and his whole face
was ravaged.
Oh, really?
It happened.
If we're called on the planet to make a major decision, that's very difficult. And that decision requires an act of faith, the cost of which is everything that is dear to us. But for the fact that we have faith, we don't sign that paper or we don't pledge that allegiance to a dictator. And we stand up for people's rights. Even these protests, people in the streets representing different races and dying for it, willing to die for it by rubber bullets and tear gas canisters and things, imprisonment. We get to a point where as some of us have to make major decisions, whether it's forced upon us or whether we volunteer and throw ourselves into the thick of battle. This is the sacrifice that is made. While we're on the topic, one of the most disgusting things I've heard lately is President Trump calling soldiers that had died for their country cowards and losers, and not even wanting to visit cemeteries because why would I go there? They're a bunch of losers. Calling McCain a loser for being captured. I mean, for a man that had bunions on his feet or whatever the hell he had and didn't go into the army, and then to further criticize by the use of his tongue and bully everybody, is just, to me, not the way the leader of our country should be responding, not to mention his denial of forest fires and climate change and what else. But aside from that, we're getting
apparently we ran into some technical problems.